Muslim is the one who avoids harming the Muslims with his tongue and hands. Good Muslim is the one who avoids harming the Muslims with his tongue and hands. Good Muslim is the one who avoids harming the Muslims with his tongue and hands.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, welcome back to this wonderful silsila, The Ideal Muslim. And as you know, for those who are always following the silsila, we are covering different topics that affect the life of a Muslim and how we should strive, to become that ideal Muslim, inshallah, azza wa jal. Before we go into today's important discussion, please do make good intentions. As our beloved master Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated, niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amalihi. The intention of a believer is better than his action. So don't delay. Make those good intentions today. Make them now. In fact, that I'm listening to this silsila of Madani Channel for the pleasure of Allah azza wa jal, for the pleasure of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What I learn, I will try my best to act upon that and to teach others as well. So go and grab your notebooks, your pens, take down the important Madani pearls of advices. You can always refer to them at a later stage, inshallah azza wa jal. Alhamdulillah azza wa jal, there are so many beautiful blessings and benefits and bounties for the fortunate Muslims who recite abundant amounts of durood-e paak, salawat or salutations upon the cream of creation, the owner of Jannah, the knower of the unseen, the intercessor of the Ummah, our beloved master, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Listen to this authentic and beautiful narration. The beloved and blessed Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam has said, when Thursday arrives, Allah azza wa jal sends malaika, sends angels who have papers made of silver and pens made of gold. They write the names of those who recite durood and salat on me in abundance on the day of Thursday and the night of Friday. Subhanallah azza wa jal. Don't you and I also want our names to be included in those registers, in those wonderful silver papers of the angels, the pure angels of Allah azza wa jal? If so, then don't forget this. In fact, every day, make it your habit, make it a part of your life to send abundant amounts of durood-e paak and salawat and salutations. Let us send together, sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, our topic of discussion for today is regarding al-haya, which is modesty. And modesty is such a wonderful characteristic of any person, and Muslims in particular, that we cannot talk about it enough. But more than talking, we need to apply this in our lives. Unfortunately, we are living in this era where we are constantly exposed to shamelessness. We are constantly and always exposed to immorality, immodesty. It is all around us, whether we look at the billboards on the roads or on the television, on our PCs, our laptops, our phones, the newspapers. Unfortunately, this is there. But we need to divert our attention from these evils towards good things. Now, our youth in particular, but all Muslims in general, but especially our youngsters, our youth, they are constantly being indoctrinated, we could say sort of brainwashed, willingly or not willingly, to live immodesty. To live immodestly, whether in their dressing, in their behavior, and you see it all around you. Perhaps you know in your own family or you know your friends, that they are actually being indoctrinated to live an immodest lifestyle, to think immodestly, to behave, to dress immodestly. Now, when so much of exposure is there via the social media platforms or via other media platforms as well, what happens? The person becomes decentralized towards immorality, towards immodesty, towards shamelessness as well, because you're always seeing it over and over and over again. You are seeing it, you are listening to it as well, and there comes a time that it doesn't really bother you because you become part of that system of immorality, of immodesty and shamelessness as well. If you see or you hear something that you are not supposed to, which is forbidden, which is prohibited, and it does not bother you, then you must know something, that you have a problem. You have a spiritual problem, and this is in the heart. These spiritual diseases, we cannot see. Like if a person has a fever, you will experience the symptoms. You will see that this person is not well, is sick, has some kind of illness or ailment. But when it comes to spiritual diseases and ailments and illnesses, they are hidden from us. And we need a spiritual doctor to administer spiritual medication for this. And if you have a sheikh, alhamdulillah azza wa jal, that sheikh, it is his responsibility for this. Alhamdulillah azza wa jal, we are very fortunate in Dawat Islami that Shaykh al-Tariqat Amir Ahl Sunnat Hazrat Allama Mawlana Abu Bilal Muhammad Ilyas al-Tar Qadri Damat Barakatuhum al-Aliyah is such a sheikh that is that spiritual guide and spiritual doctor as well. Keep in mind something. When a person performs any sin, any evil action, what happens? The scholars, they mention that a dark spot is placed on the heart. Now, this dark spot is not something which is physical that you can open up a person's chest and see it over there. Remember, this is a spiritual disease, and the spiritual effects, much of this is veiled to us. It is invisible to us. So when a person does a wrong thing, some sin, whatever it can be, the dark spot is placed on this person's heart. And with sincere tawbah, if a person sincerely repents in the court of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal, or a person does any good deed, good action, with good intentions, then this dark spot is removed from the heart. However, if a person continuously does evil deeds, bad actions and sins, then more dark spots are added to the heart until the heart is engulfed in darkness. And the ulama ikram, the honorable scholars of Islam, they mention, when this happens at this stage, no matter what advice you give to this person, it bounces off. It does not penetrate into the depths of this person's heart. This person does not receive that information and that advice and change themselves, because now they are at that stage that the heart is engulfed in darkness. May Allah protect us against these calamities. Nevertheless, if you do something wrong, if you see something wrong, if you hear something wrong, and it doesn't bother you, this is indeed a deep spiritual problem that also affects your concentrations in ibadat. For example, when you're performing salah, concentration is difficult. When you're doing other acts of worship, whether it's fasting in Ramadan, or nafil fast, or nafil ibadat, voluntary salahs, when you're giving charity, then the mindset is not there to do it with good intentions. Sometimes a person can do something good, but with a wrong intention, with a sinful intention. For example, if a person gives sadaqat and charity, and the intention in the heart is that people must call me sakhi, people must call me one who is generous, one who is so good as a donor, and must write thank you letters to me, or email thank you messages to me. Allahu Akbar. We need to look at the condition of our hearts, my dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel. Nevertheless, immorality that is out there, the immodesty that is out there, the shamelessness which is out there, affects us in becoming that ideal Muslim. Because we as Muslims, we have to embrace modesty. Haya. Al-haya'u shu'batum min al-iman. Allahu Akbar. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that haya, modesty, is a part of iman. And you know that iman is our most prized possession, our greatest asset, our greatest wealth, is our iman. No amount of money in the world, no amount of materialistic wealth or properties can buy iman. We believe in Allah Azza wa Jal. We believe in the beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We love Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We practice upon his great sunnah. And inshallah ta'ala, through the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, through the grace and blessings of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we will leave this world with iman and enter into paradise, inshallah ta'ala. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The glorious Quran is mentioned in Surah Ali Imran, verse 135. Translation from Kanzul Iman. And those who, when they commit an immoral act or wrong themselves, remember Allah and seek forgiveness of their sins. And who forgives sins except Allah? And those who do not purposely become stubborn regarding what they did. Allahu Akbar. Imagine, I want you to think about something. Imagine if you're doing something wrong, something, a terrible sin. Every sin is terrible. But if you're doing, if you're committing some sin, some wrongdoing, some act which is shameless, immodest or immoral, and suddenly your parents enter the room, or your siblings, or your friends, they walk in on you. How humiliated, how disgraced will you feel, will you be? Allahu Akbar. Think about this. But Allah Azza wa Jalla is all seeing, all watching, all hearing, is fully aware of our deeds, all the time. Even when we are hiding in our rooms or wherever it is, in private, when there's nobody else around, remember, those angels that are recording the good deeds and bad deeds, they are still there. Every letter that comes out from this mouth, whether good or bad, those angels have written it down with the details. Every action that we do, even the minutest thing that we do, good or bad, those angels are writing it down. They are recording it. And on the day of judgment, we will have to read out all of these things that we said that we did in this world, in front of the entire creation. Can you imagine how humiliating that will be? How disgraceful that will be, that we are reading out our sins in front of all of humanity on the day of judgment, on Maidan Hashir, the field of gathering? Allahu Akbar. So the next time you want to do something wrong, think about these things. Think about the repercussions. Think about the consequences in this world, in the grave, and especially in the hereafter as well. Now, if you do fall in something, into something shameless, if you do end up erring and committing a sin, committing some kind of evil deed, what should we do? Immediately remember Allah Azza wa Jal. Yes, immediately remember Allah Azza wa Jal and make sincere tawbah immediately. Tawbah, repentance. This is a discourse or a discussion on its own. Tawbah, repentance, to sincerely beg Allah Azza wa Jal for forgiveness. We need to humble ourselves. We need to humble ourselves, and remember there are some conditions for tawbah as well. If you are out there, wherever you are in the world, and you have committed wrong, and you feel, I've done so much of wrong, Allah Azza wa Jal will not forgive me. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. This is Allah Azza wa Jal's message for you. This is the glorious Quran's message for you. That don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. Indeed, Allah Azza wa Jal is actually closer to us than our jugular veins. The glorious Quran mentions. Allah Azza wa Jal is aware of our condition. And no matter how big your problems are, we must not make it an excuse to indulge in sins, whether it's drugs or going to the clubs and singing and dancing and music and gambling and all these other evils. We should not engage in backbiting or lying or pride or jealousy and all these spiritual ailments. No matter how big your problem is, remember something, that your problem, like your life, is temporary. That's correct. Your problem, even the biggest ones in the world, is temporary. Tomorrow you close your eyes, all those dunyawi or all those worldly problems are no more there. The real problems will start if we did not prepare for the grave and the hereafter. Because the grave is the first manzil. It is the first stage of the hereafter. Allahu Akbar. May Allah Azza wa Jalla grant us that madani zihn, that madani mindset of preparing for our graves in the hereafter. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nevertheless, tawbah, repentance, remember, first we must acknowledge our sin, our wrongdoing. We must admit it. Thereafter, sincerely cry in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Humble ourselves and beg Allah Azza wa Jal to forgive us with a promise. Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, I will not commit this sin again in future. This is sincere tawbah. And also we must have a lot of nadamat, which is regret and remorse. Sincerely, we must regret having done those sins or those wrongdoings. And then, inshallah ta'ala, through the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, through the blessings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah Azza wa Jal will forgive our sins. So if we do get involved in sins, remember, immediately remember Allah Azza wa Jal. Immediately make tawbah and ask Allah Azza wa Jal to forgive you. Don't distance yourself from Allah Azza wa Jal. Don't feel that, no, you know, I've done too many wrong things and I know I'm going to do this wrong again in future. These are part of the traps, the tricks, the deceptions of Shaitan. Satan, the cursed and humiliated one, Iblis, he is there as aduwwum mubeen. He is there as the open enemy. And he wants to delay your tawbah. No matter what immodesty you get involved in, what immorality, what shamelessness, he wants you to delay so that you pass away, you leave this world without making tawbah, and you get that punishment in Jahannam. Allah protect us against Jahannam. So don't distance yourself from Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal by listening to these evil whispers of Shaitan, Satan, the humiliated and the cursed one. Because he'll tell you, he'll whisper in your heart and your mind that you've done so many wrong things. How can you ask Allah Azza wa Jal to forgive you? How will Allah Azza wa Jal forgive you? He'll put these whispers in our minds. May Allah Azza wa Jal protect us against the wasawis, the evil whispers of Shaitan. We need to save ourselves. Save yourself from where you can fall into trouble. Islam wants to nip it at the bud, as they say. Any place where can lead you towards other evils, Islam wants to remove that. Divert your attention from those things. If you know, if I do these things or if I say these things, I can indulge in other sins, worse sins. It will open the doors to other gunas, other sins as well. Therefore, save yourself from falling into these bad things. Be in good company as much as you can. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, Dawat Islam is there to be that good company for you. With various facilities, madani activities as well, various platforms where we can develop ourselves as Muslims, to become practicing Muslims, to become that ideal Muslim. Dawat Islami has these facilities. All you have to do is take that first step. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. So you take that first step, and inshallah Azza wa Jal, if you practice daily on the Madani Na'amat booklet, the program, if you attend the weekly Sunnah-inspired Ijtima'at of Dawat Islami, for Islamic brothers, if you travel on Madani Qafila for 3 days every month, and you involve yourself in the dars and the other madani activities, believe you me, and if you do this with good intentions, with sincerity, you will see positive changes in your life. And if you encourage this to your family members, to your friends, to fellow Muslims, you will see very immense positive changes in their lives as well. So don't ruin your life by falling into immodest actions, into doing wrong things or developing bad habits. May Allah Azza wa Jalla grant us modesty, good morality, good morals, ethics, etiquettes. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ummul Mu'mineen, the mother of the believers, Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she has stated that once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was laying on his bed and he was covered with my shawl. Just then, Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he seeks permission to enter. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allows him to enter the room. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then fulfills whatever need he had come for. Thereafter, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was continuingly laying on that bed, laying there with the shawl covered on himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And just then, Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he enters. He asks permission, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam grants permission, he enters, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also fulfills his need and he leaves. Subhanallah azza wa jal. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam still remains covered with the shawl of Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha whilst laying on that bed. After some time, Sayyidina Uthman Ghani, Sayyidina Uthman Dhunnurain radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he seeks permission from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to enter the room. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives permission but immediately sits up. Allahu Akbar. Remember, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was lying down with the shawl of Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha covering his blessed body. But when Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu wants to enter the room, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives permission, immediately sits straight up and gives the shawl to Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, saying that, O Aisha, take your shawl. Allahu Akbar. Thereafter, the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fulfills the need of Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and then he leaves. When he leaves, Ummul Mu'mineen, the mother of the believers, Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, humbly asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Abu Bakr, my father, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, when they entered the room, you had fulfilled their need, but you remained lying down on the bed with my shawl which was covering you. But when Uthman radiallahu anhu, when he entered, you sat straight up and you gave me my shawl. What is the reason for this? Subhanallah. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replies, Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu is very modest. Kya baat-e Madinay ki? Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu is very modest. If I had granted him permission to enter whilst I was lying down and covered with your shawl, then I had a fear that he would return immediately. He would leave without his need being fulfilled. Subhanallah azza wa jal. And therefore, I acted in that manner. My dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, who is the most modest? None other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But still, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is admiring the modesty, the haya of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So you've seen from this beautiful narration that Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was one that had great modesty, which is admired by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the embodiment of modesty. Subhanallah azza wa jal. It is mentioned that even the pure angels, the innocent angels, they feel shy in front of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And as Muslims, we must, modesty, al-haya must be part and parcel of our lives. It must be our habit, it must be something natural for us. And if a person, a Muslim, is immodest, then he's going against his nature. Because it's in the nature of a Muslim who lives his deen, who practices his deen, to be modest. Regarding modesty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the great companion, the great sahabi, Sayyiduna Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu, has mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was more modest, was more shy than a maiden in her veil. Allahu Akbar. Now, elaborating on this beautiful hadith, the renowned commentator, Hakim al-Ummah, Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, stated that when a maiden is about to get married, she sits in her home, in her room, and she is extremely shy at this time. She feels shy with her family members, with others, and she doesn't freely talk to everybody. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's modesty was much more than this, in fact. And modesty, it is a special secret. It is a special quality of a human being. And the stronger a person's iman will be, the more modest that person will be. So, if a Muslim is not modest, or less modest, or immodest, there's a problem with the iman. Iman is weak. May Allah Azza wa Jal strengthen our iman. And this is very important for us, my dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel. And modesty is not only in how we dress. Modesty is also in how we talk, how we converse with each other, our family members, our spouse, our children, our parents, our neighbors, fellow Muslims, people in general, our subordinates, our employees, those who we work with. Modesty is also in how we speak, how we behave, and how we dress as well. May Allah grant us this simple thing, which is modesty, which we need to make efforts, we need to inculcate and instill in our lives and in the lives of those who are below us, our children, our spouses, those who are under our care as well. Ameen bijahin Nabi al-Ameen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Good Muslim is the one who avoids harming the Muslims with his tongue and hands. Good Muslim is the one who avoids harming the Muslims with his tongue and hands. Good Muslim is the one who avoids harming the Muslims with his tongue and hands.